Hello, and thanks for being with us on The New Leaf Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaela Shedarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about being at a crossroads. Sometimes society or a country find themselves at a crossroads, not knowing where to turn. And it could be complicated that you have to take several decisions at the same time. Life is not simple, and we'd like to understand how can we use this state in order to advance to the best possible life that we can. Be with us, Yael, please. Around the world and also here in Israel, in recent years, there's a feeling that we're in a very sensitive state, that we're on shaky ground. Maybe we have this illusion that we're still standing on solid ground, but inside we feel insecurity and a feeling that things are very fragile. Many forces are pulling in many directions. This goes for social issues, economical issues, political issues, security issues, meaning from all sides, there's a feeling of instability and uncertainty. And we call this being at a crossroads, because we feel that there is a need to stabilize the situation, to choose a path that will create some kind of stability that will calm things down. And this is what we'd like to talk about on our show. And we'd like to start with the question of what is this special state that we're in, where we feel the things are really... Look, according to what I understand and feel and hear and read, see, this state, this situation is typical of what's going on around the world in general. And the entire world is in a vulnerable state. All in all, we're really living on Earth that everyone can fall off, like people used to think in the past. This is on the one hand. On the other hand, that we're living on a kind of, not volcano, but volcanic ball, that really on the inside, all the metals are cooking and even rocks, lava. It's rock. Everything exists inside this ball in a way that it's all burning. And we're living on its crust, and it seems to us that everything's fine. Yeah, that everything's normal. Our atmosphere that we live in, which altogether is something very special and unique, and so on and so forth. So, I don't know, I think that people are used to not thinking ahead. It's a wonder that along with all of our abilities to build for ourselves a safe and good future, in education, in family life, in accommodation, in having something to eat, something to wear, in being protected from heat and cold waves, different kinds of diseases, as opposed to our ability to really arrange a comfortable life for ourselves, not only good, but beyond that, to make sure that everyone will be well off. But we see that it's the contrary. It's a wonder. I remember that in the 60s, when I went to school, I think I started university in 1963 or 4. And I remember my grandfather saying he went through the First World War and the Second World War and everything. He says, soon you'll have such a good life, really, with everything. It'll be something. I don't know, were he to be alive today? Of course, people are barely starving to death. But the inconvenience in our life is even greater than it used to be. And therefore, the crossroads that we are at today, it's a crossroads. And there's a problem. And this is how it is in each and every country, and it's interesting. The more we advance, Europe, but look what's going on there. I'm not even mentioning Africa, where people are starving to death and are running in all directions. China, that people don't know where to run to because they're not let to. Meaning, the world is discovering that it's at a crossroads and it's out of roots, correct roots. Therefore, today we've reached a state where no one thinks about it. It's a wonder that if in the past I used to read different articles by scientists, philosophers, politicians, all in all, wise people, about the future of nature, the future of the world, the future of human society. Today, it came to such a really lowly state that there's nothing to read, no one to listen to. And everyone is in a kind of state of helplessness. And if someone does write something, then it's a short article because someone feels like writing it, or that a person's used to writing, so no one will forget about him or something. So he writes an article. But this is actually a good situation. It's good for performing self-scrutiny, to ask ourselves what's going on, what's happening to our enlightened, unique and special mankind. Still, we're the smartest species on Earth. And no matter how much we're searching our universe, we're not finding any intelligent life that will have someone to learn from. We're not revealing anything at all, as if this entire universe is dead. And only we, here on our small planet, in some miraculous, wondrous way, live, feel, can lift our head to the sky and start asking, what is this all about? But still, it puts our society even more into a feeling that we're at a crossroads, that we don't know where to turn, and the main thing isn't where to turn, but how to advance. Suppose we suddenly discover some wise person who says that the main thing for our society, like we tell children, stop fighting. Be good kids. You give him, he'll give you. Be good children. So suppose that we will relate to ourselves that way, that we're not that far from it. Really, our behavior is very similar to that of little children. But we don't know how to come to that, because our ego separates us and is ready to do anything and everything in order to harm the other. Poke out one of my eyes if you'll poke out two of his. So what do we do? So, without finding some method that will correct our nature, where we will not want to harm others, and furthermore, that we will want to do good unto others, that all in all is the complete opposite of our nature, of all of our inclinations. So, were we able to take this kind of medicine, injection, pill, maybe add it to our water, because everyone has to drink. So we'll be like taking in living water. That then I drink coffee or tea or something, and along with it, we're getting some kind of remedy that time after time, taking it in, I understand that I'm connected with others, that we're interdependent, that I belong to them, that the well-being of society and my own well-being are one and the same. So were we to receive this knowledge, were we able to hold on to it all the time, we'd treat each other differently. We'd exist in a different society. We'd live in a different society. So what's missing? What we're missing is a clear understanding, more correctly, a clear feeling that we are interdependent, like in a family. How would that stabilize everything? I can't do anything that's good for myself if I'm not sure that it's also good for you and for him. It can't be, because this is how I examine. Egoistically, I examine. Will I benefit from it or not? How can I check that I'm doing something good for myself? Because if we're in one system, in one mechanism, in one dish, then something can be good for me only if it's good for you and for him and for everyone else. Because otherwise, everyone will turn against me and will take away what I want to get. Okay, a few things that I wrote down that I want to ask about. You said that today there is a greater inconvenience than in the past. Meaning, with all the developing technology and that seemingly things are supposed to be more convenient, along with it, the inner feeling is that we're living in a greater inconvenience than before. Because of technology, because of all of our abilities, we can harm each other in a way that we couldn't do before. So I'm less protected today? This is what it's about? Of course you're less protected. What do you mean? When we're not doing this show, I always see you with your mobile in your hand. Right. All the time. A lot. So if I disconnect you from your mobile, what could be more simple? You know, I'll create some kind of interference in the air. No one can get phone signals. What's going to happen to the world? The world, as if, falls 1,000 years back. Not 30 or 50 years back. We have mobiles since the 1990s, 1992, 1993. But no, we'll really feel that we're in the age of dinosaurs. So I want to understand, you're saying that I became more sensitive, vulnerable to the little things that can push me out of balance or my feeling of convenience. Right. Suppose if I don't have air conditioning, I'll faint. Today, half the country will be disconnected, not mentioning hospitals, kindergartens, things like that. So just to understand, you're saying that very quickly we fall out of balance. We very quickly feel any kind of disturbance. Precisely because of that, we can come to any person and explain. And this has to be education on the national level for everyone. To explain that we're all interdependent, that we depend on the correct, steady, and safe provision for each other, that this is our life, that without this, today we can't survive, and from year to year, these problems will only go and grow. Our need for water, for the right kind of climate. And this is how it is in different systems. Take, for example, medication. Suppose today there is no provision of medication. A third of the country are about to die, as simple as that. People that live on medication. And if we take things the way they used to be, because I want to understand the difference. Suppose we look at how things used to be. So a person was less sensitive because in advance he had less... Because what? Why was a person less vulnerable, less sensitive, even though that his life was very inconvenient? No, he was closer to nature. He used to get his half kilo of bread a day, a liter of water. And it was enough for him. No air conditioner, no mobile, no television, none of these things. And everything was fine. Today, it's impossible. Our artificial life is building such an environment for us without which we can't survive. So many years ago, you had to harm someone's basic needs in order to push them out of balance. Yeah, and then he had no problem to survive. He didn't demand that much of life. He wasn't so spoiled. It's not about being spoiled or pampered. Today, if you take a person's mobile away, it's not about being pampered. But without that, a person doesn't know what to do in life. You're taking his life away. So we became dependent on many things. This is the thing that in the past we were dependent on less things, and it's enough that one thing is missing, or some of them are missing, then, in other words, we have to give society new values to depend on. It's not our mobiles, or even air conditioning or anything, but it's the connection between people that will come instead of all of our problems. If we treat each other favorably, and this is something that we have to explain, it's not simple, then by treating each other favorably in a good and correct way, we will balance out all of our problems, including climate problems and the relationships between us and everything. Meaning, we're pushing nature and society and everything out of balance because of our ego that's not allowing us to come closer to each other and to exist in one system. We've reached a state where the still, the vegetative, and the animate, they're a part of one system, and only man, who's a part of that system, and for some reason we think that we're above all of the degrees of nature, then man is also a part of that system and also has to be integrally connected with the entire system. And only then will we reach balance on the social level, a correct relationship between man and his environment. I want to ask about one more thing you mentioned, that we have the need to hurt others. Like you said, if you poke out one of my eyes, it's okay if you poke two of his eyes out. I measure myself in relation to others. I suppose that when someone sees this show, also when I listen to what we're talking about, there's a feeling that you're saying, no, that's not true. This isn't how I am. It's impossible that I'm so, and in all the tiniest things, this is how we are. So what, a person hides this thing from himself? Yeah, because we always compare ourselves to others. If someone else makes $1,000, and I make $1,100, then that's it. I'm not complaining, even though that what is $1,100. But I measure myself in relation to others. And we see how it is in other poor countries, third world countries. Someone who makes enough to feed his family and himself and once every few months he can buy himself a shirt or something for his children. This is someone who is well off in life. He's a respectable person. So everything's relative. So it's possible to say that my need is to always be better than others. And that actually due to this need, I act in order to become better than others, compared to others. But if we'll feel that we're not living in this kind of competition, but we'll elevate ourselves to a state where what we'll measure is the extent to which we support each other in order to be in equality, then we will already measure ourselves differently, and everyone will think about the general level of all of us together. And that will turn competition into something else. We will be in a kind of competition where everyone will want to raise the general standard of living of all of society. And how will everything that we talked about up until now help us as a society to stop feeling that we're standing on shaky ground and that life's so fragile? Because all of us will be relatively together. We won't look at each other in order to put each other down, but in order to raise the general collective standard of living, and then everyone will be content. Because we're not taking into consideration what do I have, but what do I have compared to others. This is the situation today. Yeah? For example, I was in India. I saw a person who lives on the street. He has a piece of cardboard. He sleeps on it. Then he sits there. His entire life is around that piece of cardboard. And he doesn't want more. He doesn't need more. Because this is what he's used to. This is how all other people around him are. It all depends on social consent. I want to go back to what we started with. Crossroads. Today there's a feeling in Israel and in other countries that we're at a crossroads. And it has many aspects. Social aspect, financial aspect, security aspect, ecology aspect. It's multifaceted. How does everything that we talked about up until now, that was mainly about us living a much more inconvenient life despite our technological progress, what does it have to do with us advancing from the state of the crossroads that we're at? We've reached a state where everyone understands that we're on the verge of a great and general crisis. We've exhausted our egoistic nature that pushed us toward competition, and through competition, we have reached different achievements. And now this nature is eating us alive, not allowing us to advance. But to the contrary, instead of helping each other advance by setting an example for each other, we consume each other. The egoistic development of mankind has reached its end, and ahead there are big problems and egoistic competition. If it'll continue, we'll lose control of it, and things are going to be really grim. We're talking about a world war and many other problems. Therefore, we're in an era that's in a period that's really called a crossroads. And first of all, it's a crossroads in society that has to give account, that has to perform self-scrutiny about its life, about its development, about what we came to, and that the great crisis really exists within society. What do you mean within society? That now society has to know how to manage itself safely toward the correct goal, and the correct goal is to be adapted to nature, to suit nature in a good and integral way, for everyone to understand that we have to reach the same standard of living, an equal standard of living, in economy, education, in family life, that everyone more or less will have a broad environment, society around him that cares for him and takes this into account. So if I understand what you're saying, the essence of the change is the shift from the pursuit of myself being well off to the pursuit of everyone being well off. Yeah, only this way will we live in a safe world, in a good society, feeling good, having good relationships, being able to see a better future. Are you optimistic? Yes, I am. Because I know that the future of the world, one way or another, is to perform a serious revision of what it's going through and finding the truth. We are feeling beings, and the torments that we're about to experience will teach us how to reach the correct calculation. And in your perception, what is the truth? That the well-being of society is the highest value. And why do you define this as the truth? Because there is nothing higher. We have the levels of the still vegetative animate in people. And the highest state is a society where people come together and build a higher attainment and economy and connection and everything. There's no other direction to develop in. As a result of developing in this direction, we'll start attaining the inner qualities of nature, and this will also become part of our attainment. Dr. Lightman, our time's up. Thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.